Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We've got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice. Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Friday, Junior, and we have a great show planned for you. We've got Chris Bedford from The Federalist joining us at 1. He actually has a piece not in The Federalist, but in The Blaze that I want to talk to him about. He's always a great resource for us, so you have that to look forward to. Plus, because it's Thursday, that does mean we have Woke or Joke, brought to you by Aviva Trattoria, so you're not going to want to miss that. And a lot of fun in between. We've got quite a few stories that I'm keeping my eye on today. You know, I woke up this morning, and I was scrolling through Twitter, and I keep seeing the video of Biden talking about. And let me just say something right now. A lot of people give me grief and say, oh, the Biden cuts, the Biden cuts. I really try not to play that many. I only play them. They drive me as crazy as they drive you. I only play them if I feel you need to hear this. And yesterday I was on with Howie because the Bozy, the cannibal story broke after we wrapped up, or at least we didn't see it until after. And so this morning, I go through Twitter every morning. It's one of the worst parts of my daily routine. Is that I go right to my phone first thing in the morning and I just start scrolling. And I see this video of Biden talking about his Uncle Bozy and the cannibals. This sounds like a band, doesn't it? Uncle Bozy and the cannibals. It's like a band from the 1960s. But it's all over Twitter, obviously, because it's insane. And it's like nothing we've ever heard. So I do want to play this cut just to set us up for the rest of the opening here. This is Biden telling the story of Uncle Bozy, who's actually Ambrose Finnegan, and his plane crash and then subsequent cannibal situation.
So this is Uncle Bozy, Ambrose Finnegan, son of Anfros Ambrose Flankerback Finnegan, right. If I have my Finnegan's correct.
You could be like a
genealogist.
Skip Gates for the Biden family. Just walk them through. And so this was not the football player. This was the father of the football player. The football player was not eaten by cannibals. Mark that down, everyone.
The four Finnegans, not to be confused with Uncle Bozy and the cannibals.
Imagine what an episode that would be. You remember that show, Who Are You? Or Do You Know Who You Are? Or something like that. That the Biden family one would be compelling TV.
Do you know who I am?
All right, so I want to play the story first because I have a lot of thoughts on this. So this is Joe Biden telling the story of Uncle Bozy and the cannibals.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bozy. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in the beginning at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane and the like. And what I was thinking about when I was standing there was when Trump refused to go up to the memorial for veterans in Paris.
Okay, so then he goes into the suckers and the losers story. But that is the beauty of Trump. You know, I was thinking about my uncle who was eaten by cannibals, and naturally my next thought was Donald Trump. That is how much this guy commands attention. Talk about living in someone's head rent-free. The trauma of thinking about your uncle going down in a plane and then being eaten by cannibals naturally makes you immediately think of Donald Trump. Because why not? He is all powerful. But the reason I love this is because in the New York Post, it says Biden told the story while attacking former President Donald Trump for allegedly skipping a 2018 visit to a military cemetery outside of Paris during his term of office after calling fallen U.S. troops buried there suckers and losers. It goes on. The New York Post does a good job of once again debunking the Atlantic story. and just destroying it, which it's been destroyed several times. Anyone who's been following the suckers and losers fake news knows that this is completely made up. This is complete BS. But what I love about it is he told the fake cannibal story as a lead up to the fake suckers and losers story. It's almost like a prologue. I'm about to tell you a whopper, so let me give you another whopper that you're more familiar with. Like, the appetizer of the meal is going to be something that is a little bit more palatable. You've heard it a couple of times. Some mozzarella sticks for you until I throw a whole new one at you. And this is where you're going to have a little bit more of an exotic palate. You're going to have to get ready for something a little bit different here. We will be having lamb. It's going to take you by surprise. Hopefully the appetizer warmed you up for this. This is what he's doing. He's like, so...
Is it really lamb or is it Uncle Bozy? Nobody knows.
That's the thing. But you, it's like one lie leads into the other.
Well, and actually, I just found this clip. Taylor pointed it out to me yesterday. He continued with that. He actually talked about it later.
Yeah,
he told the story
twice.
Again, except this time D-Day, he got the day wrong on D-Day.
Yeah.
That story,
he said, what
too.
Did he say? D-Day was on a Sunday or a Saturday or something. Yeah, so he tells the story twice, and it's crazy because the media is trying to run cover for him. You know, they're whipping out all the old euphemisms. I'll read you a couple here. This is the Associated Press. Biden is off on details of his uncle's World War II death as he calls Trump unfit to lead the military. Biden is off on details? Here's NBC News. President Biden mischaracterizes the circumstances of his uncle's death, kind of burying the lead. You know what I would say if I'm running one of these news corporations? If I'm an editor, and I know they all suck, and they all don't care clearly about getting clicks, because nobody's reading this stuff. But here's a tip for everyone out there. From a 31-year-old who's never been an editor before, if the president mentions the word cannibal in a comment, you should put that in the headline. I didn't go to journalism school like Howie Carr. I'm not one of these experts like the people at NBC, but I know that just from being a 31-year-old person on planet Earth, I could tell you that if the president of the United States says cannibal in a story, you should probably include it in the headline. Just a tip. Just a free tip for all you journalists out there. Morons.
Did they happen to mention which facts of this story were incorrect? Did they isolate and bear down on that?
That's what I love. He goes,
because I want to know what's true about this.
I love how they say he got the details wrong. He was like off on the details, because usually if someone's accusing, for example, if someone were to accuse me of getting the details off on a story, like on an anecdote that I was telling, typically it'd be something like, oh, Grace, you know, we weren't at Auntie Ellen's house when that happened. We were actually at Auntie Kathy's house.
Or like my relative was in the Wizard of Oz, one of those things.
Yeah, right. Not, hey, you mentioned that Auntie Ellen got eaten by a cannibal and she actually didn't. Like, that would be, shout out Auntie Ellen, I hope you're listening right now. That would be something that I don't think I would mess up. I think my parents would be quick to correct me at a young age if I was spewing fake news about, you know, my grandfather or my great uncle who was eaten by a person in New Guinea. Just kind of feels like something you could cut off pretty quickly. But it dawned on me. Okay, so this brings me to my overall point. It's not just to talk about the cannibal
chickens.
But again, like, I would be an idiot if I didn't start with that. You run with what's hot.
Oh, God, yeah.
The president talks about cannibals, and you have a political talk show. You better be talking about cannibals, too. So this is what struck me today, though, Jared. I'm seeing these headlines, you know, Biden's off on the details. Biden talks about his uncle getting eaten by a cannibal. And it dawns on me. We might reelect the cannibal guy. We very well could reelect a man who's not only talking to dead people, he's now talking about dead relatives of his being eaten by cannibals. And there's a good chance he makes his way back to a second term. And I just want to put this out there now. If the United States of America reelects the guy ranting about towels, wearing a towel in a motel room, and family members being eaten by cannibals in New Guinea, I'm letting you all know right now, I may need a retreat, okay? I'm not putting it in the work calendar or anything, but I just don't know how to come back from that. That's going to take me a long time to digest. So I have this friend who's very politically savvy. And in 2015, 2016, we talk a lot about the elections and Donald Trump and all this stuff. And he used to say to me all the time, and I remember this because later I would see this in some conservative think pieces. And, you know, he wasn't the first person to ever think of it. But I remember him saying to me, all the Democrats have to do to win, to beat Donald Trump, is not be crazy. They just have to not be crazy, and they can't do it. They constantly overplayed their hand. They constantly pushed the envelope. They were like Leroy Jenkins. They could not help themselves. And when you think about it, when you think about 2015, they had everyone on their side. They had young people. They had minorities. They had Hollywood. They had the corrupt mainstream media in its entirety. It was their election to lose. And they made every possible effort to do just that. And so when I saw this cannibal comment, if you'll stick with me here, when I heard this cannibal comment, I thought to myself, this thing is ours to lose. Which brings me to Speaker Mike Johnson and the GOP and the foreign aid bills and why I can't help but think we are as disastrously incompetent as the other side. Speaker Johnson, when he took over for Kevin McCarthy, you know, he was relatively unknown. He wasn't someone who stuck out to me. He wasn't like a Marjorie Taylor Greene where he had made waves before. And he spoke a big game about border security. And you can go back and watch clips of him. Donald Trump Jr. put out a clip last night on social media of all the times he spoke about securing our border. He put it with the Curb Your Enthusiasm music. And so there's plenty of evidence out there that at one point he at least pretended to be in support of securing our border and pretended that was his number one priority. And it was an exhaustive circus to replace Kevin McCarthy and put in Mike Johnson. So I think when he started, everyone was hopeful, if not just from being tired, that it would work out, that he would at the very least be better. And now it appears that all that talk, yeah, thank you, Jared. That sums it up. Now it appears that all of that talk was a bunch of hot air. And he is poised, along with other members of the GOP, to give Biden and the Democrats everything they want and give up any leverage we have on securing the border. Now, I know a lot of people are going to, not a lot of people, I always say that, like, this is straw man. A lot of people are going to say, there's a few people who listen to the show who've gone back and forth with me and will say, because in the past I had said, I don't think the motion to vacate is a good idea. And I still, by the way, I still would argue that we risk giving this to Hakeem Jeffries, making him the leader of the House. But I would say to those people who get mad at me for being a little flip-floppy on this, you're the same guys who lectured me on how Johnson was the solution to Kevin McCarthy and how this was a way better option and I should be in favor of kicking Kevin McCarthy out. So I would take it easy on the stone throwing. But my response would be, I don't want, and this is where a shift for me has happened, just so people can follow, I don't want Hakeem Jeffries to be Speaker. But I've turned a corner here where if this is what having a Republican speaker gets us, I give up. Like, I don't see really the difference, to be honest. I know Hakeem Jeffries is worse. But in some ways, he's not. Because at least he's a Democrat and he's going to do what Democrats are going to do. There's something so painful about having Republicans do nothing. And I don't know why it's so hard for these Republicans to have even a trace of a spine. Is it that they're getting paid? Like, is it that they're part of the deep state? Is it the sensitive compartmentalized intelligence facility that's, you know, scaring them about what will happen if they don't surrender to all the deep state's funding desires? Is it that they don't fear if they use the leverage? Do they think if they play hardball for once in their flipping lives that they'll get blamed for stuff, which they're already going to get blamed for anyway? I don't know. And that's what I'm opening up the lines to. I don't understand it. 844-500-4242. Hopefully you do. Hopefully somebody out there has an answer. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. We'll play some sound. And, you know, of course, we're going to go back to the cannibals at some point. That's everything. Everything always leads to cannibals in the end, doesn't it? We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You know, Jared, it's always strange to me the topics that really get you going. You know, they get you getting real creative over there.
I mean, there's just an entire database of cannibal stuff I never get the chance to use. This is my Olympics.
You know what's weird, though, is, yeah, today's the day, I guess, but I also have to think that the story now it's in the rotation. You know, it's weird that it took this long for it to come out. My theory is, think back to that interview that they did with Drew Barrymore, right? They, and by they, I mean Dr. B and the nephew of the cannibal, Joe Biden. They were talking to Drew Barrymore one time, and she asked them, like, what would you say is your pet peeve about Joe? And Dr. Jill said that he leaves his reading light on, that he falls asleep with his reading light on. And again, it all goes to this complete charade that we're all playing that, like, oh, yeah, he reads so much and he's, you know, works around the clock. He's got Nathan Wade style hours, just booking cabins left and right. And so when I heard this cannibal story, I was like, that's strange, because most of his stories I've heard at this point. And I would say, Jared, you especially, you've heard all of them. And so this late in the game to throw out, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when your parents have stories they tell you, and then once in a while they'll tell you a story and you'll go, wow, I never knew that. And you're kind of taken aback. You're like, I never knew that. This one's so late in the game, and it's so strange, that my only thought is that at night, maybe he does actually like to read, and maybe he's reading weird, strange little, you know, those mystery books Howie reads, like the small ones you can get for like a buck online. Maybe he's reading some of those, but they're not mysteries. They're like weird cannibal style adventure suspense thrillers. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there are cannibals in Papua New Guinea. Like, that's just a thing. It's out there. But
why are we just hearing that his uncle was eaten by one?
Like, again, go with your strong one. You know, like, pretend you're on a first date. Lead with the interesting stuff. Don't talk about your love for trains. Talk about your uncle and the cannibals, Uncle Bozy and the cannibals.
Exactly. If this is something that you've had in your arsenal and you just chose to release it, bad move, man. Because this is compelling stuff. The weird, you know what the other part of it is, Jared? His uncle did die in the plane crash, right? In the ocean, they never were able to figure out where he was. So if we want to use kind of like the new standard we've got going, he can't prove that his uncle wasn't eaten by cannibals. Like, they never recovered the body. So technically speaking, is there any way to actually say that he's lying about this?
No, unfortunately.
So my verdict is true. Uncle Bozy, eaten by cannibals.
I guess the evidence that this story happened is in the back of Stacey Abrams' car as well.
Well, we'll take your theories on this. 844-500-4242. A second juror dismissed from the Trump hush money trial. The nurse was dismissed when she said she didn't think she could be impartial, and now another person's dismissed. We'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosi, they called him Bozy. My uncle Bozy was a hell of an athlete, they'd tell me when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea. And then my son volunteered to go to Iraq for a year, and he came back with stage 4 glioblastoma.
He's really trying to go through a long list to lead up to Trump calling people suckers and losers. There was no easier way to get there. We had to incorporate the cannibal story. It makes me so happy, though, that he tells this bizarro story about cannibals, and he's like, so naturally, I immediately went back to that fake story in The Atlantic about suckers and losers. I just had a call with Howie, and I said, Howie, when you started off in newspapers, if this story came out and a journalist brought this to an editor and said, hey, like, here's my write-up on the president, and cannibal wasn't in the headline, would they look at that person like they had three heads? And Howie said it's an expression they use in journalism, bring on the bear. Like, if someone got chased by a bear in a story and it's in the third paragraph, the editor would say, bring on the bear. Like, you know, you lead with the juicy stuff. I would say the cannibal stuff is the juicy stuff.
Cream, turkey. You know what I could really go for? People pot pie. First of all, Jake, great alliteration. Second of all, just because I was arrested for cannibalism doesn't mean that all I like to eat is people.
That's from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah, but there was a lot of things that Biden said and that he's been saying. And you know, I meant to talk about yesterday on the show. So Trump now is in New York City for these hush money trials, or this trial. And some of the jurors, they picked out seven jurors thus far. And then two of them have been dismissed. So I guess now we're down to five. And I was thinking about it because their descriptions were very interesting. One person worked for Disney. One person was an oncology nurse. And of course, you know, people on the right, for good reason, are going, oh, this is such a sham. Nobody. But then I kind of think to myself, how is he ever going to get a shot, really? You know, he's in New York. David Marcus yesterday, if you missed that, check out the podcast. He described it as sapphire blue in Manhattan. Like, he has no chance at getting an impartial jury. So you just have to hope that they can lay out a case and that some of these people, you know, maybe they'll have a moment of sanity. I don't know. But what's amazing is Trump's going around now after these court appointments and he's making campaign stops. And when I was talking to David Marcus, he brought up a great point. He was like, I don't think Democrats really factored that in this witch hunt, the idea that Trump now, he's forced to be in New York for at least 6 weeks on and off, like he can travel and stuff, but he's going to make the most out of his time in the Empire State, and he's going to visit places like Harlem, and he's going to meet with people that he otherwise probably wouldn't waste his time. And I don't mean it like that. I just mean politically, strategically speaking, he's not going to waste his time in New York if he's just running a general election campaign. But since he has to be there, he's a guy who likes to get a lot done in a short amount of time. He's going to make the most of it. And so every day it's going to be like, where's Waldo? Where's Trump going to be in New York today? Which group is Trump going to be talking to today? And something I discussed with Howie yesterday during the news was, I think that it's almost like watching one campaign in black and white and one campaign in color, because when Trump's going places, he's always he's got an interesting backdrop. He's at court for one hour of the day, and then he's at a bodega for an hour of the day, and then he's got a plane behind him for an hour of the day, and then he's talking to reporters as he's, you know, like, there's always a shift in scenery. There's a lot of things to catch your eye, as opposed to you've got Joe Biden, and this is where the black and white comes in. It's really more like gray. It's like you're watching an old TV and it's all gray. He's always standing behind these signs, like these step and repeats, with these vague sentences, like these vague Nike-esque logos that say, be more, do better, move, bridges, build bridges, stand up, be strong.
Eat people.
Well, that's
not a real one.
That's in real small print. You know what I mean? You got to really take out your magnifying glass to see that. But my point is, like, Joe Biden goes on these campaign stops, and they all look the same. There's nothing to differentiate one from the other. That's why, Jared, every time I see a cut of him, I'm like, what was this today or yesterday? Because they all look exactly the same. There's nothing to really, you know, catch your eye. And then he goes out there and he's making a fool of himself. But what he did yesterday was very interesting, because they had him go to an ice cream shop because they want to recreate a little bit of what Trump's doing. They want to have him interact with people in person. That's a very risky thing to do with Joe Biden. And he had two moments that I thought were noteworthy. One was when he was asked about Israel, and this is what he had to say, cut eight.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently when Israel was attacked.
Jared, for people who are just tuning in, what's wrong with that sentence?
So he made it clear.
This is becoming like a game. What is wrong with this sentence?
So he made it clear to the Israelis not to move on Haifa. I'm not Toby Leary. I am not a student of Middle East geography.
Nor am I.
But as it turns out, Haifa is actually a city in Israel.
Didn't he at one point, wasn't he doing something like this with Russia where he was telling Russia not to move on Russia or Ukraine not to move on Ukraine?
I think it was Ukraine's brutal invasion of Ukraine. Or something like that.
So the foreign policy expert, he does tend to mess these things up. Keep in mind, grain of salt here, he did also not know how to spell Afghanistan. That's how Robert Hur knew which notes were his and which weren't, because he was constantly spelling Afghanistan wrong. So it's not totally surprising that his geography isn't perfect. But then the other thing he said was he was asked about these new tariffs. And let me read you just a little bit about it. Actually, we'll do the poll question and then we'll get to the tariffs on China, because I find the timing of these tariffs to be a bit peculiar. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gale at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is which Biden anecdote is more bizarre? Corn Pop and the Pool Chain, or Uncle Bozy and the Cannibals?
So I had to have Jared listen to Corn Pop, and it's been a while. That's been years.
I got to tell you, I haven't listened to the whole Corn Pop story. For a guy who can't talk, he did not waste one word of that story. That is nuts. It's 2 minutes of pure insanity.
He painted a real
he
picture.
He used all of it.
Yeah, he did. And with that being said, as someone who's just refreshed themselves on, you know, the Biden anecdotes of yore, which one would you say is the craziest? The Cannibal or the Corn Pop?
I actually would have said Cannibal until I listened to Corn Pop. And because there's at least a bit of reality with Uncle Bozy, like he was in the army. He did get shot down. Corn Pop is, I mean, this is like going to Philadelphia and solving gang violence with the old lady fever dream-esque.
Yeah, he's like, I called the cops.
There's another one we forgot about.
Well, if we were going to list all of the stories, we wouldn't have any time to even talk about them. There's been so many. But you know what, Jared, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this. Yeah. And you know what?
Cannibals, it's a tough lead.
But this is good. It's always good when we have different votes. I'm voting for the Cannibal story. To me, it's like it's once in a lifetime. I've never even met anyone who's told me a story about cannibals. So, yeah. And remember the Army Hammer of it all when that celebrity was in trouble for allegedly having cannibal-esque tendencies or
right.
cannibal desires? That was a huge news story. This is up there for me. I got to go cannibal.
Yeah, 85% of the audience agrees with you, Uncle Bozy and the Cannibals. 15% for Corn Pop and the Pool Chain.
I'm going to let you, though, make your case in the next hour. When we get a little slow moment, I'll let you play some of the sound, and I will let you try to make your case. It's going to be hard, though, Jared.
Yeah, but, like, it's an audience of children on a campaign stop, too. The whole thing.
Here's a question. Wasn't he around children when he was telling this cannibal story? He was around children recently because he walked out of this house and he was holding hands with a lot of them.
No, that was his old house in Delaware. That was one of the houses he grew up in. I don't know if it was the house with the thin walls or not.
Was it in the Greek community or was it near a black church? That's a good way. That's how we distinguish where we are at.
Again, much like the Middle East, Delaware geography, not my strong suit.
All we can tell you is there was a lot of chickens. There was more chickens at the campaign stop than there were people, okay? All right, so something I wanted to mention, though, about the China tariffs, and let's play this cut of Biden. He's asked about the China steel tariffs. And just to give you a little bit of information, this was in the Politico West Wing report today. He visited the Union Steelworkers Union in Pittsburgh on Wednesday, where he announced that the administration will be raising tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum from China. Now, I tend to think that the timing of this, I would be very, very skeptical. Like he's coming out with all these things now, and it does seem like he's either running out the clock or he's trying to throw things at the wall at the last minute in hopes that before the election, he can go to these things and say, I put all these tariffs on China. It's pretty close to November to start doing this. He's been in the White House for a long time. But take a listen to his response about the China steel tariffs. This is Cut 7.
The steel tariffs, are you concerned that will hurt your relationship with Xi Jinping, your new relationship with him?
No.
Why?
Don't jump.
He loves that don't jump. Tom, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I'm calling about the cannibal story. But first off, as a union member, right, Joe Biden voted for most favored trading with China back in the 90s during the Clinton administration when he's a senator. And it's like, okay, so we're a couple of decades later. We've seen what's happened to the steel industry with regards to foreign competition, including China. And now all of a sudden it's a priority. He's sucking up to these people. And as a union member, all right, I'm tired of having my leg peed on and told it's raining. Him and Obama did nothing about NAFTA for 8 years. And Obama was in an AFL-CIO convention in 2008 saying the first thing I would do as president would be renegotiate NAFTA. 8 years, he did nothing. So anyway, I digress. But as far as Biden, I'm looking at an NBC News article, and it says Biden mischaracterized his uncle's disappearance during World War II. Bill Maher said it best. It's not what you're telling me in the news. It's what you're not telling me, okay? Biden made this up. Enough.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I have that NBC News article in front of me. I have a slightly different one, but depending on where they post it, they change the captions. It says, President Biden mischaracterizes the circumstances of his uncle's death during World War II as he lambasts former President Trump's comments about the military. Yeah, it's just and the crazy thing is we've heard this before. Like, he shaves off the truth. What's the one about the cul-de-sac, Jared? He tells a cul-de-sac of stories, or, you know, he.
Oh,
I'm testing you today.
He meanders into a cul-de-sac of words.
Of mistruth. Whereas with Trump, it's he lied.
I think that was Nicole Wallace that said that one.
I want to give you guys a little bit of a side by side with Biden. It's he mischaracterized the circumstances of which no one can be certain, of which it is vague shavings of the truth and his storytelling spun yarn into folklore.
Wanders into a verbal cul-de-sac.
He wandered into a verbal cul-de-sac before he took off his hat and realized he had lost it. That's how they describe Biden telling a lie. This is how they describe Trump telling a lie. Liar! Hitler pig Trump lied! I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. That's just something that I always take note of. Speaking of Hitler pig, did you see that's what Biden's people call Trump in their text to each other?
And decency. Well,
yeah, decency. And remember what Joe said the other day? He said, I'm sick of all this denigrating each other. Yeah, come together. You got to come together. Meanwhile, his staffers, the TJ Ducklows that run his campaign, are texting about Hitler pig Donald Trump. They seem like nice people. They seem like nice people. You know what they seem like? They seem like they could get a job at Google. Did you hear about what happened at Google?
I don't think
28
so.
Employees were involved in a sit-in. And I really think that young people at this point, they don't understand that if you disrupt the work at your company, you can get fired. And I kind of get why they don't understand that. They think they're so protected, like their wokeism or their virtue signaling is going to offer them this blanket of protection. But at Google, 28 people got fired because they were protesting this contract that Google has with the Israeli army. And they took over spaces. This was from Google. It said they took over office spaces, defaced our property, and physically impeded the work of other Googlers. I didn't realize that's what they called each other, Googlers. Their behavior was unacceptable, extremely disruptive, and made coworkers feel threatened. Can you guess who's going to be the victim in this story? Is it the coworkers who felt threatened? Is it the company? Is it? No. It's going to be the 28 pains in the asses who brought in signs and defaced property and were just utter nuisances. They will be the victims. And not because, Jared, not because they took over the office spaces, not because they physically impeded the work of other Googlers, not because they were unacceptably extremely disruptive, not because they threatened their coworkers. No. They will be the victims because they criticized Israel. They were critical of Israel. If you chant from the river to the sea, that's the same as being critical of Israel. If you say, we are Hamas, go Iran, death to America, that can all be described as being critical to Israel. As that last caller, Tom, said, it's not about what they write. It's about what they don't write. It's about how they cover for these left-wing radicals at every single turn. Good on Google for giving these kids the pink slip and saying, not up in here. You can go do this somewhere else. There's a bridge, Golden Gate Bridge, you guys can hang out at. Not at Google. There's too many important things going on. Listen up, everyone. You've waited through the cold temps in February and the rainy weather in March. Now the longer, warmer days are finally on their way. Spring means more flowers and sunshine. Unfortunately, Jared knows this. It also means allergens. And I'm hearing that this year, because I don't really suffer too bad from allergies, Jared, but I know you do. But from people I know, they're saying this year's one for the record books, that it's really killing them.
Yeah, and it was a little bit of an early bloom, too, and everything seems to be blooming at once. But I don't have to worry about it because I have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. So if I need the allergy relief, I just plug it in and turn it on, and I get that ionized air, whether I do that in the house where you just plug it into the socket on the wall and turn it on, or in my car, which I can do because each unit comes with a USB cable that plugs into the unit, plugs into the USB port in your car, and you can turn it on, get that ionized air wherever you go, which is what eliminates allergens and pollutants in the air the same way it does odors.
Yeah, so go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACE and the number 3 to get the 3-pack. Like Jared said, there's so many uses for this device. It's quiet. It's easy to use. It doesn't take up any floor space. So go to EdenPureDeals.com. Don't forget to use code GRACE and the number 3 at checkout. Don't forget code GRACE3. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Let's go to the lines here. Scott, you're next up. What's going on, Scott?
Grace, a couple things for those short memory union people. When he first got in office, Biden laid off about 17,000 union workers on the Keystone Pipeline, I think. And the second thing is on EVs, I believe to make the EVs will take a lot less union employees in the auto industry. Those are my comments for union people.
Yeah, and you know what I remember, Scott? I remember a lot of unions coming out after Joe Biden was elected and after the Keystone Pipeline incident, and these were unions that supported Joe, and they were, you know, putting out statements how they were very disappointed that was his first mission when he got into office was to cancel the Keystone Pipeline. And again, I go back to the people who claim they would have voted differently had they known the Hunter Biden laptop was real. It's like at a certain point, you have the information. You've just, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I can tell you all I want to tell you, you know, Miranda Devine, these people at the New York Post, Stephen Nelson, they can put up all this stuff. But if people don't want to hear it, if people don't want to do their own research, then I don't feel sorry for you. I really don't. When you get the pink slip because of Joe Biden's policies, or when the price of eggs go up, or when you find out, oh, wait, the Hunter Biden laptop was real. Don't come crying to me because it's all out there right now. You just got to wake up a little bit. Thanks for the call, Scott. 844-500-4242. Chris Bedford from The Federalist joins us next.
Come give me a hug. I'm not going to eat you.